Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hey, and welcome to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
I'm Mike Sweeney.
I'm Jesse Gaskell.
We are writers here at The Conan Show, and every week...
I just said indeed, I'm sorry.
I thought you said deet. I thought you were mentioning the insecticide. Yes, indeed.
Trying to sneak in a good deet
Absolutely,
mention
indeed.
Whenever I can.
Slash deet. I knew you were. They're not even a sponsor. And we like to talk about things going on behind the scenes here at The Conan Show. And I think we get some great guests who talk about their connection to the show or to Conan.
And today is no different.
Who do we have today?
Today, Maria Bamford.
She's fantastic.
Comedian extraordinaire.
Yes.
I love her. I've loved her for a long time.
She's so talented and so refreshingly different from so many stand-up comics.
I never know exactly what she's going to say or where it's going. And it's a little bit of a roller coaster because you're scared
second. You don't want to stop listening.
Funny. Yeah.
Very funny.
But she actually, so she's been on the show many times.
On
Conan.
She was on Late Night and on the current iteration.
Yeah. But she also is the star of a new scripted podcast series from Team Coco.
Yeah.
Called Frontier Tween.
That just debuted.
Yes. It's available now on Luminary. And it's hilarious. She's hilarious. It's a perfect role for her.
Yes.
Because she, you know, if you're familiar with her stand-up, she does a lot of voices.
Right.
And this voice just fits in perfectly with her oeuvre.
It's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
It's a very funny, she's really funny doing the character.
Yeah.
It's a funny character.
And we had a lot of fun talking to Maria.
Yep.
So let's get into it. We're here with Maria Bamford.
Hello, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
Team Coco.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You just learned what that was.
I'm very supportive.
Yeah.
It's a rather amorphous creature, ever changing.
Well, Maria, I've been a fan of yours since the mid-aughts.
Oh, well, right? Thank God. God.
What were you doing in the late 90s? Why weren't you on board then?
I didn't have my shit together. No, I'm sorry.
No, I just tuned in recently, so.
Stumptails nicely. Yeah.
Well, but you have been performing since the 90s.
It's in the 90s, and I believe Conan was my first TV appearance.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
So, yes, it was I was so terrified. If you ever have a dream come true, you might think that it's going to feel good, but I felt terrified for the first 2 weeks beforehand. Then once I did it, it went swimmingly as far as I could tell. And I was paid, and it was a delightful experience. Mr. Conan O'Brien was very kind to me. And then I've been on a few times since. And love show business.
I like that advice. If you have dreams, don't pursue them.
Yeah.
Because it might be painful.
Well, it was very surprising to me I felt so terrified.
Right.
That I thought it would all, that I would feel like it was meant to be, which... It, yes, yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes it's been like, oh no, it's scary. It's just a new thing that I've never done, and so
well, because the stakes are so high, and if it goes wrong, then you think, oh well, that means then the dream is dead.
Yes. Well, and what I like to tell myself before every big thing that I think is a big thing, which it probably isn't, is I can be the poor example from others' greatness can be determined. I can inspire others by my terrible work.
That's you're you know, the control group.
Yeah, yeah, that it's that I can make it meaning out of that. That if
just
I'm
don't do this.
Yes, exactly. I can be useful in some way.
That's a great way to psych yourself up.
Exactly. You'll go into the history books one way or another.
Yeah. However you can rationalize.
Well, I would think going on TV for the first time seems terrifying.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's
there's
a natural
a red light
thing
that
to be
comes
afraid
on
of.
Yes, yes.
It's all these built-in things to scare the shit out of you.
Which it seems magical. Maybe
that's a healthy fear.
People might have less fear now because we do film so many things at a young
yes,
age.
Yes, people grow up being recorded from birth now.
Yeah.
I'm sure that won't have any side effects.
No. Do you ever see old, like, Edward R. Murrow, just early television from the 50s where they're interviewing man on the street and people are so guileless. I mean, they're just... They're not even aware that there's a camera there. It's such a different – I kind of wish we were still there in some ways.
Now everyone's in the back and they've got their you know, like their website and their SoundCloud is shaved into their
and that face they
head.
Make when they're done with the sentence. Like, chew on that one, buddy.
Oh, I know. I need to get more meme-worthy in my replies to questions. You know, like, right, a little dance move.
Yeah, you should
boomerang.
You should be a GIF.
Yeah, a GIF.
A human GIF.
Human GIF.
So that was your first time on.
What year was that?
That was, I believe, 1998.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then,
oh, God, things just,
it was a straight rocket ship up the 405.
Did you know, was it easier? Well, let's go back a sec, because I don't even know really where you started doing stand-up. What, was there a city where you kind of came up?
I did a little in college, then I started in Minneapolis and did mostly performance art venues and feminist spaces. but then I got a couple gigs at comedy clubs. Then I moved out here. Because I got a Star Trek character job in a touring show, Jack in the Box promotions of Deep Space Nine. Anybody? No.
You've got to slow that last. I want to hear every detail.
We need to walk through every
word. Of that promotion. So you moved here after.
Yeah, I got a great job. $600 a week to walk around in a tight uniform with some false breasts, because that's part of my Bajoran culture. And then with a Vulcan and a Klingon, we go to Jack in the Boxes all over Southern California, and we would speak of our planet, and it was very confusing.
Was this a dream you had, or you
no,
really this
it
happened?
It really happened.
Jack in the Box.
So
was...
grateful, because it was a wonderful, fairly easy job. You know, people would just say, can we swear on this?
Sure.
Get the fuck away from me. You know, like that.
Those were the employees.
Happen. Yeah, but otherwise it was pretty good. It did not pay well. It probably did pay well enough for me to get the dry cleaning stains of fast food off my uniform.
But did you have to eat a lot of Jack in the Box as well?
You're
there.
Yeah.
You're there.
You gained 200 pounds.
It was a great job. Then I promptly fell into a hole, a financial and emotional hole. You know, like I just didn't know how to
deal with your newfound fame.
Well, and to live in Los Angeles, it's a very different experience to live below the poverty line here. Social services, it's a row to hoe. So I finally figured out, got some help from some friends who said, hey, Marie, you have a college degree. Why don't you try being a secretary? And then worked for the studios as a secretary for many years as a temp. And while doing stand-up, turns out lots of places to do stand-up in Los Angeles. And that's what I did to make money until I was paid to tour.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. that's a good way to get material, being
oh my God.
Having a day job like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah. yeah. It's very relatable being
yeah.
a temp.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yes. Temping. Can you work with sharp objects? yes. Can you meet them at an unmarked warehouse in downtown Los Angeles? when? You're going to be making airport salads starting at midnight. Why so mysterious? I would have been in from the jump. There's no reason to... You buried the lead.
Yeah.
Airport salad starting at midnight. All Come that, on!
All that food does seem like it was made in the dark at night, yeah. doesn't it? When you're,
oh, it's so
I feel
weird
better about
that,
it now.
Oh, so many jobs are... So,
Did you actually have that job?
Yes. Oh, yes, wow. yes, I had airport salads, and those were rare, because the better-paying jobs, that was minimum wage, the better-paying jobs are... I worked at a laundry factory where I would take... wire hangers and make them each into one long wire.
Oh.
No one told me what the business plan was.
Uh-oh.
I tried to feel... I assume it had meeting.
Best not to ask.
Yes, it was so silly.
And you did it as a Klingon.
Yeah. yeah. But I worked on this studio lot, Warner Brothers. And
so you didn't need the map?
Oh, God, no.
You know where all the tunnels are.
I know where all the stuff is. no, I was a temp, so I never got to get into the tunnels.
Oh, okay.
Are there tunnels here?
Yeah, there are, but I haven't been in them. I know they exist.
Wow.
Or they're rumored to exist.
Or is that a myth?
Maybe no, it is a myth.
Why do they need tunnels here?
I assume for the sex parties. I don't know.
Right.
The sex party. How wonderful. It is a good job to have in LA to work in the entertainment industry. Below the line? And then you work in the boring part of the show sometimes, or what can seem boring. But if you like data entry, then wait a minute.
So you weren't exposed to any opportunities through that work?
I had very hilarious experience of like, I would have a development meeting with somebody and then the next week be their secretary.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
So good.
No.
So rich. Because that happens, I think it's a very humbling industry.
Like, where are we at on the deal?
Yeah.
Am I You guys, still I saw waiting the file. The
that it does seem like the wrong order. Yeah. Pitch and then work through
it. I had a meeting, and I think it was on Warner Brothers lot, and this guy, I was a young, hot, beast, as we all are.
When
you have your little outfit on and you're boot scooting along. The man was very flirtatious. The executive walked me to my car. I said, you know what? Probably don't walk me to my car because it's kind of I don't want you to see it. Because it was smushed on all four sides and it was covered in feminist bumper stickers. And the guy said, oh, no, I'm cool. Back in the day, I used to be in a band. And, anyways,
cool.
he walked me to my car and he visibly shuddered and was like,
Wait, no, that's great though. That was like harassment deterrent.
Oh, well, exactly. And who
could
your
have
friends
happened
are?
If you hadn't had that car.
That's how my husband, I fell in love with him because he showed up in his car, which we've been married 5 years, in a 92 Saturn.
Ooh.
The floors almost running through.
Yes.
And his friends said.
Yeah, they don't make Saturns anymore, do they?
Yeah, no, sure don't. His friends told him, oh no, man, you got to take my car. One of his friends has a Tesla. It's like, take my car. And he's like, no, I'm going to drive in my own car. And I was just, because I've dated a lot of people with a shite ton of money who are real assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And also aren't very clear about how much money they have. Like, they'll be like, yeah, I got two houses and I'm just really scared because I'm going to lose the house in the Pacific Palace. Yeah. It's like,
that's how you break the ice.
Like, I just go, no, Scott, he told me, this is how much I owe to Discover credit cards. This is my car. I was like, do you own it outright? He's like, yep. I'm like,
you're rich. Yeah.
That's when you fell in love.
Seriously, because sometimes it can be like a weird fantasy town where people you don't understand what's going on.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah,
a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
A lot of yak. about what you're working on.
Yeah.
A lot of yak, a lot of sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Friends, cars.
I pay only in cash. I work only in cash. Aretha Franklin.
I was going to say Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, carry your purse on stage.
Yeah. I'm not going to trust anybody.
She was on our old late night show, and the story went around immediately. She had to be paid in cash.
Yeah.
And wouldn't perform with the air conditioning on. And I think it was like August.
Oh, wow.
So the crowd, it was like 100 degrees in that studio.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Aretha Franklin.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure they got over it.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah.
But I think that's so true. I mean, I've had checks bounce from people where you're like, huh?
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
But anyways.
NBC.
I think people just, we're like goldfish where we grow to fill whatever space we're in. So the more money you have, the more spending you do, and then you still end up kind of on the margins,
right?
Even when you have a lot,
and still miserable all the time.
Yes, yes.
Well,
exactly.
Yes, yeah, and there's no need. I mean, look at us—we have bottled water, and we're indoors.
Yeah,
for Christ's sake,
and we're near the tunnel system.
And we
the alleged.
We are above a tunnel system.
So you moved to LA to start your comedy career.
Yes.
Were part of you thinking, oh, should I move to New York or LA? Or was that a decision?
I did. I thought about that because I went to school on the East Coast. I went to Bates College in Maine, where a lot of New Yorkers and Boston people came. It's Lewiston. New Brunswick is actually a little nicer.
Okay.
But Bates is a little rougher on the edges. But and I just thought, if I'm going to be poor, I'd rather be warm.
Yeah.
And it's worked out, you know, that it's toasty out here. And also, I do appreciate, my husband's from Philly, so I totally, now I much more appreciate the direct communication between people of like, yeah, I fucking hate you, you know, like, but
they'll tell you when they hate you, but Angelinos don't tell you.
I love Los Angeles. I love that about Los Angeles, where somebody's like, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You're a genius. No, come on. You're fantastic. And then they never
see
you
I'm trying to
again.
Order coffee.
Yeah,
I would prefer that to, you know, go fuck yourself. Even if the go fuck yourself is authentic.
Yeah,
I'd rather have something fake.
I think that's a good that's a good choice to make. I know I'd rather be lied to also.
Yeah, I like the go fuck yourself because I it was affirming.
Yeah, where are
what
you
I was
from?
Already thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm from New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah.
And Jesse grew up. You grew up.
I'm
all over
I'm
the
a Californian
place.
Though, I
but
was,
primarily California,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my husband, I think we're attracted to each other because of that, like, I have the different passive. You know, Minnesota passive aggressive style
yeah.
where
right.
you never say.
So he doesn't know when you're being mean.
Oh, he does.
Or he does.
He probably
okay.
does.
I give him a little wink. But it's delightful when he just says exactly. We were out to dinner with some people who showed up an hour late.
Oh my
and
God.
It was wonderful because I was just like, oh, it's okay. It's not a big deal. You know, and then he said, no, I'm really angry at you guys. It's been an hour. I'm really hungry. And then
they got there. Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
When he got there. And
I
was like,
they still showed up.
They still showed up. And I was so like, we had a nice time for the rest of the meal.
Once the air was
like,
clear.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah. I had to say it. And then I, of course, didn't get to say anything that I felt.
So you felt resentful the whole time.
Now you're angry at him.
You're still
now I'm
mad
telling
about
the story.
It.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still telling that story.
What was their excuse for being an hour late?
I know, because that means they didn't even leave until they were already probably a half an hour late.
I think they just didn't. I think they did not want to go to dinner with us.
I think
that's one of those things. Yeah, I mean, why else? I think that's what
that is L.A. polite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We'll show up.
but not when you said no, it's okay. I do love Los Angeles.
what were some of the clubs where you did stand up here?
I will go up anywhere. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see me in a coffee shop if we're in the same zip code. But I'll you know, the improv, I've done all the clubs, but now that I'm older, I like to do shows during the day, much like Branson, Missouri. So I'll just go, there's a black box theater in a strip mall, and I'll go down and do an hour. And they're enough self-employed, artistic slightly depressed types at 4 p.m. who have time to see a comedy show. And then I don't have to drive all over Hollywood. Although I did do three shows the other night, driving to different shows.
Three in one night? Oh, wow.
Yes. And that, I mean, that's the way you got to do it, so you can practice a set over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But in New York, it's so lovely because you could just walk.
Right.
But L.A., yes, it's a little bit of a valet parking game.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I still do shows. That's I think how it goes.
I love the afternoon. The afternoon
I know,
shows
that's
is
really,
such a
yeah.
Great, that's fantastic.
Part of it is you're
home for you're home for dinner.
Who wants to stay up till 1 a.m. on a weeknight?
No.
Well, and the great thing about the internet, I'm sure as you all know, is that you can find your people,
mm-hmm.
and right. so the people come to you, and there's that lack of confusion which used to be in comedy where. People would come, oh, I've come to see comedy. What kind of comedy? Yeah. Well, it's going to be comedy, so it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be the kind of comedy I like, which is barrel-chested Polynesian men who tell caustic one-liners. Not necessarily. Like, at least you know exactly what you're coming to see, and that it's a lot less heckling.
Or at least, has that made it more enjoyable to perform?
Yes. For me, anyways.
Yeah.
Maybe for others, I know I'm not a very flexible comedian, so I don't, you know, I don't change my material.
So you don't do roasts?
Right.
I don't change at all for different crowds. I just go, this is it.
Right.
Couldn't we be all going down together? I hope we can enjoy it. Because that's the most painful part about comedy is that nobody's been notified who's going to be there.
Right. But your fans would know that's, you know, what they're, it's, what? You're not going to be working the crowd.
Right.
So it sounds like it's a perfect setup.
Yeah. It's perfect for me.
Yeah.
And,
only talking about you.
Yeah. No, of course. But, I know, I know that is sometimes, I feel ashamed of it, because it's preaching to the choir, or you're, you know, not being a tougher comic where you can go up in front of everybody.
I want the
province of Gangshu, China, in a farm collective. And those, we didn't even speak the same language, but I killed. Had those people
it was
under
all
free.
Physical comedy.
Yeah.
Well, I would argue you earned it. You were in that place where you have fans who come and go, and you went through all that.
Yeah.
Like, has to stop after a while where you don't know who's going to be out there in the audience.
It also feels like being kind to the audience. Like, I've been asked to do Vegas, and I know that Vegas, to fill the rooms, they paper the rooms, which is awesome.
Right.
I think people love a free show. But the problem is then for the show, they don't know what they've come to see.
No.
And then I end up feeling terrible that I've ruined their one vacation week a year. Like, I mean, they can get up and leave, but that blows. Like, that just blows if you come to – I mean –
But,
yeah, so I that's one
Vegas
reason I don't do Vegas anymore.
Very empathetic of you.
But Vegas pays very well. It does pay very well if you're ever interested.
Yeah. But the pain you have to go, because I know Conan went on tour, did a stand tour and went into Vegas. And it was adoring crowds. And then it was exactly what you described, people who were comped. And they're like, we'll go to this
so we can
Team Coco.
More.
Right.
Yeah. Or
and have no idea what they're going to see.
And they're kind of depressed. Maybe they've lost a little money.
They lost their house.
I mean, or they're kind of like on a – I mean, sometimes vacations are shitty. Like, you know, and so then not
especially
only
–
you choose to go to Vegas. Yeah,
you have that expectation, and then you're going to another thing that you don't like. Mm. Oh, God. Oh, well, that makes me feel better that – But because Conan seems like such a – he's a lovable
Well, every
entity.
Comic I've ever met who worked in Vegas is
–
I mean, if you do well there, that's a terrifying sign.
It's a mark
sign.
Against you.
Yes.
Well, but I think if you are good with people, if you're extroverted, if you have – if you're likable, like to a large – like that's – I am not likable, it turns out, to a – you know, people are like – I'm not somebody people have a lot of confidence in when I go
you're
on stage.
You're not the Joe Biden of comedy.
And that's a joke. Thank you.
I could tell when you didn't hug me.
Yeah.
You were very, very a little formal. I have a question about your audiences. Do you have like super fans where it's almost like, sure, it's great to have all your fans or your people know you come see you, but is there like some people come too many times where you're like, why do you skip a show?
No, I'm still at the point, and I think I will always, my hope is keep it small business, business Saturday.
Streamlined. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, streamlined. I like that.
Afternoon show.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anybody who's super obsessed. Or that if they are, I can say, hey, I talk enough about mental illness to say, hey, I don't think this is about me.
Right.
Why don't you go text? What is it? Is it help to 911, 911? I don't know. There's some sort of suicide hotline. Oh. I'm so sorry.
No, we'll have to look that up
so we can
text that information out there.
Yeah.
But
I never know where to call.
Yeah.
Texting is so much
text is so much more easier. Convenient. I texted them just to see if it worked, and it totally does. They're right there.
Oh, good.
And then you say, JK, hey, it's me, just checking.
Everything's great.
Everything's great. I'm fine.
Just thinking of your IT situation.
But while I have you, there are a couple things.
There's a friend I have.
A friend of a friend of a friend.
But I'll meet with people off Twitter who are strangers and will rehearse my hour for them. Because sometimes I don't even want to drive somewhere. So I will say, hey, can you meet me in Pasadena area where I live? And then we'll contact. And I've met probably over 50 people via Twitter and done an hour of material for them.
Oh, that's great.
I bought them coffee and a fritter or whatever it is they wish. And everyone's been very nice. It's much like internet. And I had very good experiences with internet dating.
You did?
Yes.
Oh. I don't hear that very often.
You should be studied by science.
Yeah. I went on like 75 internet dates. If you just meet people for coffee, everyone's pretty normal.
The stakes are low.
For half an hour, everyone can keep it together.
Exactly, exactly. And my husband, he was about my 76th internet date, and then I was his first. He had never been on one.
Oh, that's what he told you. I mean, that's great.
Exactly.
Of course.
Perhaps. Yeah, exactly.
No, but I hear that a lot with where, eligible men get snatched up so quickly on online dating that— they only get one date, and then he's snatched up.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, also, I was in a different place. I think I was more available for dating because finally I think I had an epiphany of I had had a psychiatric breakdown about 10 years ago, and I was in the psych ward, and I kept— all these people had people to visit them and they were schizophrenic, in bipolar episodes, and they had spouses. And I was like, what am I waiting for? Like, who? Oh my God, I thought I had to be perfect, and these jackasses are hooking it up for 20 years or so.
And they're crazy.
And they're, they're as bananas as
crackers.
I am. So, and then when I met my husband, it was so nice. I was dating somebody else at the time, who was perfectly pleasant, also a nice person. But then I went with Scott. Turns out it's working out.
All right.
That's great. That's a really good— is a really good lesson.
The people don't give a shit. They just want to find somebody to love and to be loved by.
Yeah.
And they're not so much into specifics. Some people might be. I mean, some things are a deal breaker for certain people. But for my husband, mental health wasn't a deal breaker. He said, oh, yeah, my mom, his mom was bipolar. So he told me he says that he knows sometimes they don't let you have sharp stuff in the psych ward. So he said, hey, if you grow a beard, I'll come in and I'll shave your beard for you. And then,
oh my God,
I fell
beautiful.
Deep in love.
Yeah.
It was really.
That, the so Saturn.
That is really.
Yeah, Saturn. I mean, come
romantic.
On.
That is.
And he was on time in LA. On time.
Yeah.
And lived less than 2 miles from me. So.
Oh, wow.
All those things.
Well, now we know the real.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we already knew he was punctual.
Yeah.
Hi, Meg. You guys are an hour late.
I know. Yeah.
Is your husband in the show business?
No, he is not.
That's
he
great.
Is
that's
a good. Painter. And but he started doing stand-up. He's done it for
four years
now.
Oh, really?
And it's been delightful because he's excited about it, which helps me to get more
re-ignited.
re-excited.
You're seeing
about
it through a babe's eyes.
Yeah. And that it's super fun, and you know, and that it's neat, and we go to open mics.
But do you have to now go to his shows?
Oh, I love to go to open mics. Oh, I love an open mic. I feel like it's a public support group with tight, tight sharing.
Yeah.
Where sometimes there's a DJ and a smoke machine.
And you give your last name.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the different part.
It's usually free, and so it's the best. I love open mics.
Have you started painting?
I have done painting. I took some classes from the Wizard of Art. He's in Los Feliz.
Oh, I've seen his sign.
Yeah, Paul. He's a lovely man in his 70s.
Well, I don't want to know who's behind the curtain.
Oh, he's great. He teaches. It's adults and kids, but it's great because you get to learn to paint with kids, and
it's good for your self-esteem.
Yeah, there's low pressure, like the, you know, and he's always super. He's very LA supportive. Like, oh my god, man, that SpongeBob SquarePants, that's amazing, man. I really love the palette you're using. I would kind of have you worked out on your shadows. Okay, all right, I'm gonna step back. You keep doing it.
That's so fun.
It's really fun.
Wait, so does your husband go to those classes with
no,
you too?
No, I haven't
been
there.
Going to open mic, so he should have to go to those.
Well, he's not as into that. What does he do for me? Oh, well, he is more a solitary person.
Oh. No. I like where you're going, but we do have a purple buzzer that runs out of batteries, so let's not play the blame game.
He's more social, because I like to have people over, like tons of, I like to have parties. Like to have parties, like to have people over. I like to have open houses.
Wow. Oh, cool.
So, yeah, we've had a lot of open houses, which sometimes he has to go hide and stare at a wall for a few minutes and then come back.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
Oh, so are you an extrovert? Is that how you?
I am not.
Yeah. Oh. You said before you were shy, but I'm hearing.
But then I'm a showboat. I'm an occasional showboat.
Right.
And then I also like to hustle. I like to cater mm-hmm. waiter. So I can do that. Okay, hi, hug, cater waiter, get in a few conversations, hide in the bathroom, come on back, circle it back.
It's a good way. It seems like a great way to kind of get rid of, or not get rid of, but take care of all of your social obligations all at once. Like everyone can come over and you spend 10 minutes with each one and then that's it for the year.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, it is nice, and it's nice. I like... I want to get to know my neighbors in theory, and then of course, we did live next to a frat house for 10 years, or I did in Eagle Rock near Occidental College.
Oh
my goodness!
Oh no!
I didn't
know they had frats there.
Oh yes!
Oh geez!
But Obama went there. He wouldn't be part of that community.
Shout out to the water polo team on Hazelwood. You guys are assholes. We tried everything. We tried everything. We watched the movie Neighbors, and they were jerks. And I finally went spiritual, and I'm an atheist. My sister told me, okay, burn some sage on the front lawn and create a flower mandala. So I'm doing that one morning, and they just start setting up beer pong. And I'm just like, you know what? Nothing's more powerful than beer pong.
Yeah. Were they putting their cup, red cups, into a mandala pattern?
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, they love to party, and they're not wrong. It's fun to get drunk and yell.
Yeah.
I love to yell.
And shit and in your drunk. Neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
So who blinked first? Who moved out first? Oh, I'm going to say you moved.
We moved. Yeah. And we told the next people who moved in, which you legally, of course you have to, but I wrote a large description of all the things we had done and that it was annoying. But people, one guy was a...
Oh, do you have to legally disclose that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, just that they're allowed?
Oh, yes. You have to tell, you know, all the lengths that you've gone to try to stop the noise. Like, because we went to the college, we went to the police, all the stuff. And, you know, so that they know what they're getting into, because you don't want anyone moving in where all of a sudden they're like, say what?
I could see that being the whole point of buying a house.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't know you have to tell somebody that.
Yeah.
I thought most house sales are just...
Right.
I think it's a kindness thing, too.
Ah, okay.
I think it is a kindness. Yeah, like I would want people to.
Oh, you're a good person. Oh. Okay, that's. I was that's totally different. Thrown
you guys,
off.
Okay.
Oh,
I thought
Yeah, the interview's over.
We're on the same page. No. Okay.
No. No. I also. Yeah. It's just you just go. But the people who bought it, I told them everything, like every single detail, and they had two kids and they want to move in. So yeah. I was like, I and they.
I mean, that's
there,
a good
so.
School district.
It is. anyways, what are you gonna? Maybe they're in there with Bose headphones. Or
yeah, they're just in front of tablets all day. Are you? Do you have quiet neighbors now?
Yes, okay. We do.
In Pasadena.
In we're actually in Altadena.
Oh, Altadena. I love Altadena.
High up. I do meet people in Pasadena though, because okay. I know that's more central to most people. But Altadena,
but you're, yeah, you have mountains.
Is Altadena
there.
All engineers from?
Yes, JPL.
JPL.
Yes, people come Jet up
Propulsion
and go,
Lab.
What sector do you work in? Right. I work in 41. And then they say, I work in 651, 652. Yes, that's happening. And what else is, there's a lot of bizarre, there's a Theosophical Society that's up there, which is this weird study of religions. I don't know what's going on. I'm sure it's dark. And
do they have a water polo team?
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's no colleges up there.
Good, quiet, nice and quiet.
See if we have any interesting neighbors. We have had a bear and some
bobcats. Oh, wow.
And
did they come to the party?
No, the bear went in the garbage mm-hmm. and then came out. And then we had some raccoons fall in the pool when they were fighting. And they raccoons swim because we came out there to help
they're
them.
They're good swimmers.
They're good swimmers.
Yes.
Good job,
raccoons. Are basically little humans with fur.
Yes.
They're
tiny little hands.
Raccoons.
Yeah.
They're so
sweet.
Oh,
you had some serious raccoon issues.
No, it's still ongoing. I have raccoons that keep breaking into my house and getting into my attic. And every time I close up one hole, they find another way in. And then they can even like rip boards off.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they
no,
can
yeah,
rip
yeah.
grates off with yeah. their fingers. Yeah. They're so strong.
They very will strong. Eat through ceiling tile. There's
yeah.
a beautiful, there's a story of this family on the internet where they took in a baby raccoon, raised it, and then they put it back in the local forest, you know, saying, okay, now
yeah.
it's a, they came back from vacation and the raccoon was just sitting on their bed with a big hole in the roof going, hello.
Oh, wow.
You thought you could get rid of me. No, they're so smart.
The
and they
shot.
Find they have places they like to nest. And so then they've just been coming back for 6 months. I can't get rid of them.
They're very neat because we had one in our attic when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh.
And my mother made me go up into the attic. I heard them crawl out at night. So I went up and while they were out, I went and stapled shut. I found the hole they climbed out of and I put some chicken wire over and stapled it shut. I went downstairs and then at midnight learned that I had locked them in. They they hadn't left the house yet.
Oh my God.
So they were tearing up the attic and so I had to go back up and rip the screen off and wait till they were out. And it didn't smell good.
No.
Because they mark the hole, the exit with their territorial.
Excrement.
With whatever's handy that comes out of their body.
Have you seen them with a top hat when they have tea parties?
Yes. There are a lot of people that take them in as pets, and that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Because, I think those raccoons are just biding their time.
They're wild animals.
Rip some
There's
face
somebody
off.
Here who has a pet hedgehog.
Oh, you have a
Kevin.
Really?
Kevin, pet
I
hedgehog.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that about Kevin.
That is so Euro.
You've hidden that from us. Is that legal? Are you allowed to have one? No.
No.
He's going to cut. He edits
never
this.
Never
so
mind.
Yeah, that's right. We'll never know. We bring up his hedgehog in every episode.
Yeah.
It has never made it on. Oh, yeah. It smarts us at every turn.
We'll have to start speaking in code.
Have you guys ever tried stand up?
Oh, well.
I did stand up for a while.
Because we needed to stand up.
Yeah, in New York.
That's how
you
got the job here at the Conan Show.
Excellent.
I got hired to do the warm-up for the Conan Show in New York back in 1995.
Yes.
So it was a long time ago. And then I got hired as a writer, and then I stopped because back then we worked super late at night till midnight. So I had to stop doing – I used to do it every night. Yeah. I did six nights a week.
No, yeah. And that's what the lifestyle is, especially New York is so wonderful for that.
It is good for
that. Get to some wonderful tight material.
I would come out and visit friends of mine who'd moved to L.A. And, you know, like they got a small part in Seinfeld or you know, they did The Tonight Show. And I'd come – they'd been living here 6 months and they were super lonely. Like,
it's lonely.
It's lonely after a little bit, and they almost became agoraphobic. Like, I'd have to coach them, like, let's go out, and they're like, I'm just stay home. And
That it was does a little, happen
it scared
in LA.
Me. Yeah.
No, it's weird. I mean,
the doldrums.
Right? Is that?
Yeah, no,
there is some of that.
That's
isn't
real.
There?
Actually, we have two comics living with us.
Oh.
We have a comedian roommate, Brian
Vogel. Are Volke, they raccoons?
I was going to say, what's the top hat?
And then
top hat raccoon comedian.
Carmen Morales, very funny lady. She also, in the effort to have a cooperative.
That's so cool.
Cooperative environment. Just because it is a little bit. It's weird.
Isolating,
you don't see people. I mean, people that I love, I see them once every 2 weeks, but then they're hustling so hard that sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, work always seems to come first.
Yeah.
Because the rents are high. And anyways, okay.
Well, you're very supportive.
Really cool.
I love how supportive you are. You've got comics living with you, and you're at open mics rooting everyone on. It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
Listen, let's create affordable housing.
You're like the dead mother of.
Yeah.
But do you ever at home, like just, okay, I don't want to hear about your latest premise. Like, just, can't we just eat?
Well,
I'm
sure they're like that with me. Like, I mean, I've paid both of them to you know how they for Instagram, you gotta, what do you call it, where you put your words on your bits now. Oh, I'm so sorry that I don't know this.
Instagram
caption.
Yeah.
Caption your bits. I don't know how to do it. So I've hired those kids.
They're 30.
They're not kids. to caption. So I get a ton
of it. So it's a work exchange.
Right.
They're doing beautiful work. And it's also inspiring. Again, it's like, because they're at the beginning and excited and and doing things that I don't know anything about, like the roast culture. Brian is a very good roaster. He works at the Comedy Store, and so does Carmen, and they do a lot of those, and I don't know anything about that, and it's hilarious.
It is. It's like, now a separate subgenre of stand-up.
Yeah, like I don't – also, I'm not very good at it. I love to write. So he's let me add, you know, think up roast jokes.
Fun.
Oh,
ghost writing roast.
Because it's fun. Yeah.
And then no one can get mad at you because you're like, hand it off.
See?
Yeah, very smart. Uh-huh. Did you audition them before they could live with you?
Like,
did you?
Oh, God, no. And I don't, but they're both lovely people and super funny comics.
Good.
So check it out. Brian Vogel with a Y and Carmen Morales, who's now on the road. I do not know where she's performing tonight, but go see her.
Do you,
that's so generous.
Can you explain some of the roast? There are now many roast shows, and who do they roast?
They roast other comedians. They roast sports figures. Just anybody who in LA who's willing to show up and be taken down a notch. I think it can be anybody who will draw ticket sales.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So I don't know very much about sports, but I know he's come back with, you know, trying to write sports jokes.
Right.
And then and he's done some ghostwriting for Comedy Central roast things. I don't know exactly very much about it, just that they have a nice time.
And then they come home.
And they all stay friends.
Yeah, they stay
friends. That's good.
Yeah, they all stay friends.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm too thin-skinned. I don't think I could.
I was roasted once, 15 years ago, and I totally remember everything that was said. oh, my God. And because it's so...
Like, no, guys, it's fine. It's fine.
It's so true. Like, the guy said, Maria Bamford, she does six voices that all sound the same. I was like, yes, yes, you got me. So true. Apologies all around. I was hoping no one would notice.
Oh, you all agree with him. Okay.
Okay, great. No, but, that's the point of it, I think, is just to be a good sport about your
just a
personal character.
Well, the Alec Baldwin roast was on last week, and we were talking about it in the writer's room, and Conan was there, and he's like, I maybe there's something wrong with me. I don't ever want to be, I have no interest in being roasted. Like that, yeah. That's not my idea of a good time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess.
Right.
You got to have a certain personality to be okay with it, which, yeah, it's not my favorite. I've asked Brian about it. He said that, yeah, he likes, he feels like it's affectionate if somebody
goes, right. Yeah.
You know, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These all I guess things. That's how men
communicate. People know you.
Yeah.
We sure fucking
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Nice hedgehog.
Yeah. yeah, I do. I was raised in a way where it's like you never say anything unpleasant about someone.
The Midwest.
And you and constantly. Especially not the truth.
Yeah. yeah. And you apologize for yourself most of the time. So, yes. Mm, interesting.
Well, you mentioned that, so you do more than six voices. Seven or eight.
At least seven.
You're a master of voices.
You're a master of
God,
voices.
A great master of voices.
how many voices would you estimate you've done for animation?
I think it is around seven with like high and low variance. I don't think, because I don't do celebrity impersonations. I like during the same, let me see. Yeah, so I, of course, like doing my mother. Yeah. I love it because she's lots of fun. And despite her having stage four lung cancer, I somehow still think it's okay to do a very unattractive impersonation of her to her face. No. She's fine. She's fine. The cancer's gone, but it's still not okay.
Can you do your mother through the ages, the way some people?
Through the ages? Oh, like
in other words, young mother.
A younger mother? Oh, I can do,
I can do the excited woman who's more of just a wonderful commercial character who's also very maternal. Does anybody,
just variations on types.
Right.
Someone who demands respect, who's in charge of a company and knows how things work business-wise. Someone who has pens. Someone who has pens and paper at the ready.
But no personal life.
No personal life.
That person, you just terrified me. Yeah. I swear that's going to get fired.
But I'm willing to try anything. But the show that we did for Frontier Tween, that's just a girl who's kind of she's not dumb, she's empowered, but she's also just not well educated in terms of she hasn't been to all the school years, but she's very confident.
Yeah, I love you as that character.
Oh,
let's talk about that for a sec. Sure. Frontier Tween. Is a new scripted podcast.
Yes.
Team Coco is entering the scripted podcast area.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And is this the first one?
It's the first, yeah.
It's the very first scripted one.
That's really
maybe
cool.
One of the first ever.
Oh my gosh.
I know this podcast sounds scripted, but it is not. But it's a misnomer.
Everything.
Improvised.
Yes, and.
Did, when you heard about, were you familiar with the idea of scripted podcasts, or was that something that was new to you?
No, I listened to the murder shows. Yeah. Who's been murdered? How horribly did it happen?
Yeah. You never saw it coming because they were so loving.
It's always
but
the
then
husband.
There was a tiger in the backyard. Anyways, I've been listening. Did you listen to the tiger one?
No.
Oh, it was so gross. The tiger. Two tiger people get in a fight and then they feed each other to their tigers.
No.
What?
Anyways, I haven't gotten to the end. Oh, I assume that's what happened.
I think you did get to the end. What's left?
I have to go right now.
It's kind of a mop-up operation. There's a lot more to go. Then a raccoon enters the picture.
But I have not listened to scripted podcasts. Possibly because I worry it's something I haven't gotten work in before. So you know when you can't listen to something that you think you could get a job on?
Right. I could do that.
Yeah. I can only listen to I can only watch things on Netflix that are Swedish crime dramas. Because I go, I couldn't. There's no way I would have gotten an audition for that. I can't
I don't
be up
do a Swedish accent.
They tried to call me, but forgot the country code.
Yeah.
Have you done a teen voice like that before? Because it's
well, you kind of do teen yourself. In
yeah. You have a naturally.
You do like your
have
own
a young voice.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
I guess it's not. Yeah.
It's not too far off the actual. Actual irritating childlike voice. People find it sometimes.
No, I actually meant that you've sort of done yourself as a child.
Yes.
Talking to your mom and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes. So I can, but it's basically my own voice. But if I could do a teen voice, that is a certain kind of teen who does,
that's a cool teen.
I do unpacking videos. A lot of times I just go shopping and I just show people what I've got, because sometimes you get so much stuff and you put it in a bag and then you take it out slowly.
She's making $3 million a year.
Yeah, I know. Good for her.
How do you describe that new, maybe it's not that new, where I hear people talking and ending where their voice goes up.
Oh,
ASMR?
Sentence. A lot on the radio, I hear it now.
Yeah.
It's, even just on like NPR and
ASMR.
Well, it's not vocal fry, right?
It's not, it's but different. It's often coupled with vocal fry.
It's sort of a lift that.
It's a lift.
I think women are known for doing it more because we often are unsure of whether what we're saying is correct.
Right.
So you add a little bit of a lift.
But a lot of men do it too.
The world is heating up.
Yeah.
Am I, you guys?
No offense.
Climate change, okay?
If only you were more convinced.
Otherwise, I would have believed it.
Yeah.
So when you record this podcast, I always wonder, do you try to get some of the cast together, or is it people off on their own?
Everybody's on their own.
Wow.
I think they'd all, I mean, all the shows that I'm on now, it's everybody separate for the most part. I think because people are so busy hustling and doing a billion things, you know, they've got yoga pants to sell or whatever it is they're doing.
Commercials.
Yes. Yeah.
So does someone else read with you?
Yes.
Or do they play, if someone else recorded it, will they play that
for
you?
No. They all just read it with you. Okay. So, sometimes you get a more flat read.
Right.
It's not Winnie the Pooh talking.
Right.
So how is that? I mean, that must be difficult to kind of get in the scene if you're...
Well, let me paint a picture.
Yes.
Beautiful air conditioning.
Oh.
You have a cool bottle of water right next to yourself. There's a kitchen about 1,000 yards away that's filled with snacks. You go in and they say, could you do the line 5 times? And you go, okay. And then, no, it's a delight.
Okay.
There is, it is so, it's so wonderful and it's fun, super creative. And then you get to see this beautiful thing that's perhaps been made in South Korea, hopefully Vancouver or someplace closer. Right. I don't know why I have a strong opinion about that, but live better, work union, go USA. Anyways, but it's always I love voiceover. It's wonderful.
Well, and it does make it such. I mean, it's a lot. Probably more fun to watch the finished product because then you.
Oh, yes.
It's such a surprise.
Yes. Such, and animation is so gorgeous
now.
It's just spectacular how detailed and painterly it is. Like, it's just beautiful, the different styles and. Yes.
Do you ever remember the 5 takes you gave for, and then like they chose take number 3?
Come on.
How could they?
Okay. 2 was the winner.
I don't. I'm on this.
That's a healthy sign.
Yeah. That's as I get older. Now I'm just, I'm trying to spend more time, trying to
not giving a shit, no.
Right? Friendships, family. I keep hearing
more open houses.
That's a thing.
Daily open houses.
Daily open houses. I did. We're getting we just moved to Altadena, so we have we're trying to get a bench because you got to get a bench because then people sit down.
Oh, sure.
And then it's like a people bird feeder. They come sit down and chit chat with you.
Oh, nice.
Make that happen. I do.
Chairs are good too. You should have chairs.
Yeah, yep. Need a friend. Yeah. We got a few chairs, but they're a little too far away from the sidewalk. So we gotta get a bench going a little closer.
Sure. Oh, or one of those little free libraries.
We already have.
Oh, you
one.
Already have
we got
one.
It. My husband
oh,
made
I
it.
I love those.
And we had a bench on our last house, and a guy moved in. So there's a man living on the bench.
Oh,
and he was actually quite lovely.
Yeah.
And he'd move out during the day so that other people could sit down.
Well,
he was, but his name was the Wolf, and he would sleep on the bench at night. Anyways, things aren't good here in Los Angeles. So I don't know if you've been, but we are living in the Old Testament. Yeah.
Were the neighbors cool with the bench?
Yes, they were good. Fine with it. Yeah,
well, those are good
the
neighbors.
The water polo player.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Well,
they,
I mean,
they had bigger fish
the water
polo,
they did not have a, yeah, they were like, they were a little too, I hope they're doing, their team is doing well.
they're going to make it to regionals this year.
Yeah. I wish them the best.
Well,
no
that's,
hard feelings.
It's really cool that, I mean, it seems like such a natural fit for you to do animation and to do the scripted podcast.
Yes. Oh, it's wonderful. Yes.
That's so, and it's cool. I mean, you're obviously also still doing stand-up a lot and specials, and you had your Netflix show, Lady Dynamite.
Yes.
So there's a lot. You have a lot going on. But
is
there something that you're still, is there something creatively that you'd still like to get into or that you haven't gotten to do?
Well, I just shot a special, which is going to be called Weakness is the Brand.
Oh, wow. So this is your new hour
this
of material.
This is my new hour of material,
great.
So
I'm
very excited. And but as far as things that I'm working on an audio book for Audible, and so that's kind of fun to write a book, but then it's for performance,
which
is my favorite thing anyways. Like
so you're writing it too?
Writing to perform it.
Wonderful.
And so
wow.
Because I'm not interested as much in writing a book. I love to write to perform. So I need laughs, it turns out. So yes, I'm excited about that.
Could you do the audiobook for an audience and it would just be 8 hours long?
It would. It's 2.5 hours long. So I have tried to do it for my husband. he pooped out a little.
That's a big ask.
Yeah, that's a big. It really is. But that's it's a book. It's a how-to book on. A simple 15-step way how to force yourself to write and perform a full hour of stand-up comedy. doesn't everybody want to do that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So,
That sounds extremely useful.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people,
It's going to be such a bestseller. It's just, that niche is so huge. that's what I'm writing. And
it is actually probably most of our listeners.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. Oh, my gosh. Well, then look for it. It'll be out, I think, in the new year. So, excellent.
It's ambitious, too. 1 hour.
I know.
Just go right to a 1 hour show.
Yeah, you go from 0 to 1 hour.
No, because, why wait for it?
It's
true.
People
work forever.
Or
it's 3 minutes. No. Poop it out.
Or is step 12, do your material for 10 to 15 years and get better.
Well, that's a great step. Wait a minute. Maybe it's going to be a 16 step. That's a fantastic. One of the first steps is to call whatever you're doing stand-up comedy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's great.
To confuse people.
Well, people get so mad.
Stand-up. That's not stand-up. That's not stand-up. I always loved that comedians would love to
distinguish
trash.
Anything
that wasn't what they were doing was questionable.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, that's I think part of the internet culture is you get together and you have a strong opinion about different art forms. But it's
in some corners of the internet.
Yeah, in some corners, it's just like, well, how does this affect you
exactly
at all?
No.
Exactly. What's it have to do with you? It's always kind of like, why don't you worry about yourself?
Yeah,
how you're doing?
Yeah, just watch something else. Guess what? There's lots to watch.
Well, it's not like stand-up is like a, I don't know, it's not like you're carrying on a storied tradition from 3,000 years of human existence. It's like, this
the
is
Iliad.
Yeah. This is a few decades.
food guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and yeah, yeah, it's just so super silly. super silly.
I don't know. I don't know if it happens as much now, but yeah, like 25 years ago, it used to be like comic battles, like Sam Kinison is mad at Dice Clay, and they'd go on Howard Stern and talk about it, and it'd just be like, ugh.
Oh, they know there's still that going on.
Yeah,
I get to hear about it from the young people.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Guess what?
Who the feuds are.
Yeah. So-and-so said that so-and-so isn't doing that thing in the so-and-so game. And I mean, okay, they got two podcasts and an energy drink.
Yeah, what do people get criticized for now? It's like...
I think it's just
selling out.
Selling
out to Quibi.
I think any sort of thing you can be criticized. And I love the internet for that, where you can learn things. Like, I've been called out, like, I wrote an essay on a topic I know nothing about, about an experience I have nothing. Yeah, no personal experience. I didn't experience. Satirical essay.
Yeah.
What? And kind people told me, hey, Maria, it's transphobic what you wrote. And I was like, oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry. Apologies all around. Thank you for introducing me to some books on gender identity and sexuality. I'll take that down. Then I had to get the publisher to take it down because they still thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
But then I got the electric experience of getting to teach someone a lesson I just learned. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It was fresh in your mind.
That is satisfying.
But you know, I think it is good. I'm a dinosaur slinking to the tar of irrelevant redundancy. Please, I'm grateful that anyone would take a moment to tell me that I'm a goofball or being, you know, alienating people that I respect.
Well, we're all learning all the time.
Well, some of us.
Some of us are fully evolved.
I restarted step one every time.
Yeah. Well, Maria, this has been so wonderful.
This is delightful.
Thank you so much for having me on
maybe
the program.
Maybe before we go, could you just give one piece of advice for someone who might want to do what you're doing.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay, whatever it is you think it is you might want to do, do it, okay? And, you know, do it, okay? So when so I, and I, and let me sound that out, okay? D-O space, and then it, I-T, do it. And I know that's the hardest part. I don't want to do it either. High fives all around. I do not want to do it. So I'm right there with you. If you see me, know that I don't want to do it. And if you've done it, if you went ahead and did it, then we can shake hands and give each other shoulder-based hugs.
Well, I think we don't ever have to do that advice segment again because that pretty much covers it.
Pick something you don't want to do and do that thing.
Do it. Maria, thank you so much.
No problem.
This is a pleasure.
See you soon. Tons of fun.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Oh, that was delightful.
We never found out if you did stand-up comedy.
Oh.
I wanted to find out.
Yes, I glossed over that intentionally.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I did stand-up for about a year.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, I never got... Like, I was on some booked shows, and I did open mics. And then, I mean, I never got past the point of feeling terrified.
Right.
I did a few of those bringer shows at the Comedy Store.
Oh, that's so hard.
And it was so awful because I'd bring like four people, and then based on how many people you bring, they put you at the back of the pack. And so the people who brought the most people get the best spots. And I would be like 3 hours into the show. It was really painful.
Sorry.
And everyone leaves after their person performs too. So then you're performing for like...
Well, that I kind of like when everyone
clears out.
Yeah, you know? It's less pressure. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, you just made me relive a really painful memory, but that's fine. Speaking of stand-up.
Yes.
We actually have an exciting announcement.
We do.
The Team Coco House is happening October 3rd through 5th.
Yeah.
This year. The year of our Lord, 2019.
Maybe explain what Team Coco House is.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, Team Coco takes over 10 comedy clubs across the country on this one weekend with a ton of stand-up comics.
Great comics
that have all been vetted by the Team Coco team.
Yeah, yeah. They've got physicals.
The
whole nine
No
yards.
Bone spurs among these comics.
No.
It's people like Dion Cole, Bill Burr, Tig Notaro, Pete Holmes, Lori Kilmartin, and more.
Many, many, many more. Many great comics.
Yeah. So you just you have to go to teamcoco.com/house for lineups and tickets to find all the shows in your city.
Yes. And if it's not in your city, get on an airplane.
Yeah.
Or get in a car and travel.
Yeah. And you won't have to see either Sweeney or I perform.
Yeah, yeah.
We promise that.
Oh, that's always my promise. You will not see me out in public. I'm a recluse.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
We like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blaird.
Associate producer, Jen Samples. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Ta-da!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.